Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Joni Mahan about Haunted New Harmony. And thank you for being a gravekeeper and keeping this program alive. Tell me about some more of the other areas of town that that have hauntings in. I know.
For my book, I really covered buildings that the public could visit. Mm-hmm. So I didn't delve into personal house hauntings because I didn't want people to come and be peeking in people's windows.
Sure.
But Community House Number 2 is another very active location. This is a building that was built in the early 1800s by the first utopian group called the Harmonist, and they would use the first floor for community events, and the second and third floor would have been used for lodging. This group was celibate because they believed that the second coming of Christ was going to happen soon, and there was no need to propagate the species. So men lived on one side of the hall, women lived on the other side of the hall. And once again, tour guides were the ones who initially felt the haunting because they would be there for longer periods of time. And they would hear large groups of people walking around and talking, and they would go to the next floor to look, and of course, there'd be nobody there. And I experienced that firsthand during one of my investigations. I had my entire group down on the first floor giving a PowerPoint presentation about the history of the town. And I was telling them at that point, I said, you know, I can't make the ghost perform on cue. If something's going to happen, it's because they want to, but I can't make it happen. So we could have a really quiet night. Just be prepared. And at that moment, we all heard a group of people walking right overhead across the room. Well, initially, we thought maybe somebody from the group had snuck away to start the investigation beforehand. And so the two people that are in charge of the building took off, raced up. There's two staircases at either end of the building. So they went up, each of them, and they searched the building, and there was nobody up there. So when they came back down, we all kind of had a good laugh. It's like, well, I guess they showed us, and it was very active. There's been an apparition that's been seen there numerous times. The first time she was noticed was in a photograph. They were setting up for a big dinner, and the caterer took a picture of the table just to show how beautiful the tables looked. And in the picture, they caught an apparition sitting in front of the fireplace, and it's very clear. And that picture is in my book. Second time that same apparition was saw was by a tour guide up on the third floor. She was talking to the group, and all of a sudden she saw a woman in white walk up the stairs behind the group, except she didn't walk. She kind of just glid. And the woman walked behind a post and then just disappeared. And the third time that I know of that she's been seen was when I was testing out my ghost walks with one of the historians from the building, because I wanted to make sure I had my history and my dates all correct. And as we're walking, one of my other friends called me and she said, "Is somebody at Community House number 2? And so I asked Megan and she said, "No, the building's locked and, you know, here's the keys." And my friend on the phone said, "Well, I was walking past there and I saw a woman in the window. She was dressed all in white. She had a white bonnet on and she was standing at the window on the first floor." She said, I saw her and I thought, this is strange. And she said, I turned around and started walking. Then I turned back around. I'm like, I gotta look at that better. And the woman this time waved at her. So she looked like she was dressed in harmonious period. So nobody was in the building. So people take pictures during my ghost walk and they often get images in the windows. And, you know, it's just a very insanely haunted building, but in a good way. Nothing negative has happened there, not like the Fauntleroy where they're pushing you up the stairs at Community House number 2. It's almost like they kind of stay back somewhat, but they will be seen and heard on occasion.
Is it the occurrences at the Fauntleroy House where they're sometimes pushing people off stairs, is that as negative or as dark as it gets in the town, or is there anything else that you feel may be there that you just kind of want to stay away from?
Yeah, there are two locations in town that make me a little uneasy. And I will say there's never been any kind of tragic murders or wars or battles or anything that could have caused a lot of this. I mean, history does have a way of hiding things, especially people that have a lot of wealth, so they can cover up things. Not saying that anything nasty happened in New Harmony, but I'm not saying it hasn't either. I just haven't come across it yet. The other building that I feel uncomfortable in is Murphy Auditorium. And it was built in, I believe, the early 1900s, like 1911, maybe 1912. And it's a theater. So it's still active. They still do plays there frequently and different events are hosted there. But people have had a lot of experiences there, especially in the basement. And I did get a tour of the building and I didn't get to spend a lot of time there, but it just long enough to feel that I did not like the way it felt in the basement. It made me very uncomfortable and I didn't want to stay there very long. And as I started getting the stories, I kind of understood why. People talk about a maintenance man named Gus that worked there for quite a number of years. And apparently when he died, he never left, because when women go into the women's dressing room in the basement, they'll turn on the light and there'll be a maintenance man standing there and they'll gasp and, you know, because nobody expects that, and then he'll disappear. So, and other people have had other experiences. There was one woman who was there. She was a performer in one of the plays and she was staying in town. She was bored one evening, so she just decided to come over and sort through all the costumes. And apparently they had been left in a pile, so she was picking up pants and folding them, putting them on the table. And she turned to get another pair of pants and looked over, and all the pants she had folded were unfolding and falling onto the floor. So little things like that have happened. People have had different experiences. I just didn't like the vibe in that building.
Was there any historical stories about the maintenance man, about what he did in his life, or why he would be back and kind of projecting this feeling?
No, in fact, I couldn't pull up any information about him at all.
Really?
And some of the, it depends on who owns the buildings, because the buildings that are owned by the state, those people are very open and willing to talk to me. But some of the buildings owned by Historic New Harmony, they're not as keen to share those stories. Mm-hmm. So I did, you know, hit a little bit of a wall sometimes in my research. I'm not saying they weren't nice to me or anything, because they were, but the information wasn't as prevalent there.
Sure. The theater, the opera house in the town, also known as having several hauntings at as well, correct?
Correct, yes. It was originally built as one of the community houses. So New Harmony had four of those community house buildings. And as of right now, two of them still stand. One is community house number two, and one was transformed into Thrall's Opera House. And it became an opera house early in its existence, almost soon after the Harmonists left and the second Utopian Society came in. Not long after that, it was turned into a theater for people to have plays and events and whatnot. That building has also been, during a large part of its life, was transformed into a gas station and garage. And the pictures are really astonishing because it looks just like it does, except for there's a gas pump outside and cars going in through the double doors instead of people. But it was turned back into an opera house again, and the state purchased the building. So it's still used. They still have events there. Most of my stories, again, came from the tour guides. There was one that was really interesting. This woman named Carawan Schaefer had been a tour guide there for many years, and she would spend a lot of time in that building. When they didn't have events or tours, she would be there researching and working on different things. And they would always hear noises coming from the back of the building and voices, conversations. And so they would always get up and look because the building was supposed to be empty. And they would go back and there'd be nobody there. And so one night they decided, okay, let's do something. So her and the other tour guide left a note on the table. It said, if there's someone here, please leave us a sign of your presence. And they locked up, set the alarm, and went home. The next day they came in and they really weren't expecting anything. It seemed they both felt kind of silly for doing it after they left. But when they came in, the note was still there on the table, but it had been wadded up into a ball. So their first inclination was, well, maybe somebody was messing with us. So they checked the alarm records, but they were the last ones out and the first ones in. So perhaps the ghost of the building had was playing a little prank on them.
Sounds like it very much could have been that. There is another location in that town that wasn't necessarily the site of the tragedy, but the site where victims of a tragedy went to. And of course, I'm talking about the gymnasium that many people were brought to as a makeshift morgue after an F5 tornado hit a nearby town. Can you speak about that at all?
Yes, you're talking about the Robert Gymnasium. And it was only 1 year old when it was put to use for a very tragic purpose. F5 tornado, which still stands as the most horrific tornado in existence, swept through several states and killed a lot of people. And it completely wiped the town of Griffin, Indiana, off the map. They were only 6 miles to the east of New Harmony. And New Harmony was the closest town, so they stepped into action and offered their assistance, and the dead and dying were brought to New Harmony, and makeshift triage centers were set up to try to help the people that had a chance, and the dead were put in the basement of the gymnasium as a temporary morgue. And sometimes the injuries were so traumatic that it was difficult to tell if a person was dead or alive. In fact, one woman was paralyzed during the tornado, and she was put down there with the dead bodies. She was down there for 2 days in the dark with dead bodies before somebody noticed her furiously blinking her eyes. So she was pulled out, and she did end up having a better story. She received emergency surgery, and her paralysis was cured, and she went on to live a normal life, or as normal as you can get. But I bet she had some really bad nightmares after that. I can't even imagine being stuck down in that basement. But over the years, people have seen mostly children in the building. There's a clock tower on the building, and I happen to love it because no matter where you are in New Harmony, when it chimes the hour, it kind of is a moment of unity because we all think about the heart of town and the clock tower chiming, but it hasn't always been functional. There was a period of time where it was broken constantly, and it would go off at odd hours and not stop. And so there was one man in town that kind of set himself up as the fixer of the clock, and he would come at all hours of the night to fix it. And he would climb up this tall ladder up to the clock tower to fix it. And as he did, he would sometimes, something would catch his eye, and he'd look over and he'd see children running up and down the bleachers. And sometimes this is like 2 a.m. There shouldn't be any children in the bleachers. And as he watched, they would disappear. And that kind of struck him as odd, but he was open to the concept, and he started actually looking for them. I have actually seen the little boy myself. We were doing an investigation there in February, and we were in the annex portion of the building, which was built on at a later date to help support some of the events and whatnot they have there. But as I was sitting there, I happened to look up, and I saw a head and shoulders pop out of the bathroom, which was probably 20 feet away from me, and then pop back in, and there was nobody in the bathroom. So unfortunately, I was the only one that saw it. And so I asked the next group. I divided into two groups, and so I asked the next group. I said, just please watch that doorway and see if you see it. And the next group came in, and it happened again, and they all, five of them, saw it. So other people, since I wrote the book, have come forth with stories about the gymnasium. There was one woman who went to school in New Harmony and used the gym when it was actually still used for a gymnasium. And she said during basketball practice, she kept seeing a man sitting on the bleachers, and it kept distracting her. Finally, one of her teammates said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, "That man on the bleachers, what's he doing there?" And she looked over, and there was no man on the bleachers. So little stories like that come and go. People hear voices, footsteps, doors opening, and there's a couple creepy areas. The basement definitely sets my teeth on edge. Not sure if there's anything else down there, but sometimes, you know, negative happenings draw in negative energy. So just because somebody didn't die in a building, doesn't mean they can't haunt it. So it could have drawn in other things. We were down there not long ago for an investigation and started getting a really gruff voice over the spirit box. And it made us all a little uncomfortable.
What was it saying?
But I want to say it was saying along the lines of get out, but not get out. It was something along those lines. Like, whoever it was didn't want us down there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not happy with us.
When you have something like that happen, when you have a voice that makes you uncomfortable saying something like get out, do you heed its warning?
It depends on the circumstance. Yes, if I'm leading a public group, typically I will relocate them and to a different area, because I definitely don't want to anger whoever's down there already. But if I'm investigating by myself, or, you know, with a private group, we may try to explore it a little bit more to see if we can help them, because sometimes anger comes from a place of hurt, and something might have happened to this soul and he needs help, and we can spend more time and efforts and try to help him find his way to the other side.
With something like that at that location at the gymnasium, where there was all those folks, where their bodies were resting, obviously the assumption a lot of times is, well, this was tragic, these ghosts are from that period of time. We also alluded to, because it was such a tragic thing, so much sadness, such a negative thing, that other things may be coming in from it. Do you suspect that everything that goes on that building is a result of that tragedy and that moment where those bodies were in that building? Or are there other things there that you would attribute to other points in time?
I think that so many people passed through those doors and spent time there that it could be just about anything. I certainly think that the tornado victims play a huge role in it, but the ghost haunting that building could be people that spent a lot of time there and loved the building, just like a lot of the other buildings in town. So it's almost impossible to track them all down because, as you know, they aren't always really forthcoming with information.
What was one of the most surprising moments you had when investigating this town in regards to the paranormal? That it could be really anything, but something that really shocked you or surprised you about a haunted situation?
Yeah, one location. I don't know. There's so many stories that I could tell you, and I'm sorting through all of them in my mind as we're speaking. But one place that always surprises me is Antique Emporium, and this is an antique store on Church Street, and it's on my ghost walk, and it's in my book. And the woman that owns the shop has had experiences starting from almost the minute she opened the shop. They were watching they were getting ready to close the store, and they happened to look up and saw a woman cross the monitor. They had a camera set up to the back of the store, and they saw a woman on the monitor, and they thought, oh, great, you know, somebody else is still here. So they gave her a few minutes, and then they went back to look for her, and as you can guess, nobody was there. So they call the ghost there Bibi, and she does all kinds of antics all the time. And when I'm doing my ghost walk, that's the last stop on my walk. And most of the buildings, nothing ever happens. Sometimes people will take a picture and they'll see something in a window, or they might feel something strange happen when they're walking. But Bibi likes to perform for us. And that's always surprising to me because, as I said earlier, ghosts don't perform on cue. But Bibi seems to like to show off. So when we end the tour standing there talking, there's a big, heavy lamp hanging in the window. And all of a sudden, it'll start swinging. And it happens almost every ghost walk. But it never happens any other time. I've been in the store many times, and I've looked at it, you know, watched it, and nothing happens. But she seems to like to show off during our ghost walks, so people will see that lamp swinging. So I just think that's always surprising, just how willing the ghost is to help. Not a shock, but just amusement, because she is performing on cue.
What's your hopes for the future of New Harmony, you know, many years from now? Obviously, you know, there's the ghost aspect of it. There's the art aspect of the town. Where do you want to see the town? What are your wishes for it 50, 75 years from now?
Well, I really don't want the town to change a whole lot. It's perfect like it is. I just want people to continue to come here and appreciate it, whether it's for the normal attributes or for the paranormal aspect. I just don't want this town to be lost and forgotten. And I want the stories to remain, too, because so many people put their lives on the line and their heart and souls into this town to make it what it is. And I don't want any of that history to be lost. So that's what I want.
That wraps up part two of our interview. Thank you to Joni Mahan for joining us and discussing Haunted New Harmony. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.